As my operation wounds healed, and the stitches were removed, I was able to move about more and more, very cautiously at first, because of my sightlessness, but with more assurance when I found that nothing was moved unless I was first taken to it and shown its position in relation to other things. Skye went about with me, telling me where everything was, and people who came were cautioned that I was blind. "What, such big beautiful blue eyes, how can she be blind?" "Considered well enough to be taken into the garden. The air was beautiful, with the smell of the sea and the plants. For many days I would not let anyone get between me and the door. I was constantly afraid that I should be shut out." "And chide me, don't be such an old fool, thief. We are people here, no one will shut you out, ever." "Lie in the warm grass," and Misku would describe the scene for me. "The tumbling waves, reaching up towards us with fingers of white spume. Ave beneath the house grumbled and roared and, on stormy days, seemed to shake the whole cliff. To the left was the sea wall, with the lighthouse at the end. A mile or so across the water islands I stood sheltering the little harbour from the worst buffets of the turbulent Irish Sea. To the right the Devil's Tooth projected a few yards from the main mass of land, protecting the men's bathing place from the heavier waves. Love to watch the men bathing, perhaps I should also if I had had my sight. Behind the house reared the peak of the Hill of Howth, from the top of which, on a clear day, could often be seen the mountains of Wales, on the mainland, and the mountains of Mourne in Northern Ireland. These were happy days, as we lazed in the sunlight and Misku told me of our family. Lost my fears that I would be shut out. No longer did I have to be sent to a great rough dom. Now I was wanted for myself alone. And, as Misku herself said, I expanded under the influence like a flower taken into the sunlight after being in the darkness of a lonely cellar. Those days, the llama would put me on the lowest branches of a small tree and hold me so that I could not fall, and I would dream that here at last I had entered heaven. The gulls bothered me at first. As they swooped over they would scream and say, "Look at that cat down there, dive on her, drive her over the cliff and then we will eat her." Who would growl our famous Siamese war cry and would unsheath her claws ready for any attack. On the air would come a thug thug, thug thug, and all the birds overhead would wheel madly and rush off. Along this puzzled me greatly. I could not always be asking questions. Then I found the answer. Fishing boats were coming in and the birds were after the fish offal being washed from the decks. Blazing in the warm shade of a veronica bush one sunny afternoon when Misku called, "Get yourself ready, thief, we are going for a drive." "A drive? In a car?" I almost fainted with horror and astonishment. "A car?" And Misku was pleased. "Sku," I expostulated, "I simply couldn't go in a car. What if they left me somewhere? Come on, we are all going for a ride." Faint with fright that I had to be picked up and carried to the car. "So Misku," she sang with joy, rushed into the car and yelled, "I bagged the front seat. Is the llama going to drive, Misku?" I asked timidly. "Of course he is, and don't say the llama all the time, say Gov the same as I do." Sure enough the llama, sorry, the Gov, got into the car and sat on a front seat beside Misku. Ma got in the car and sat at the back, taking me on her lap. The young English lady, I could not say her name yet, sat beside Ma. "Sure you have locked the doors?" asked the Gov. "Don't we always?" replied Ma. "What are we wasting time for?" shrieked Misku. The Gov did whatever one has to do to make the car start and we moved off. I was amazed at the smoothness of our progress. This was far different from being thrown violently from side to side as had been my experience in France and America. We moved down a steep hill and turned a very sharp corner, rolling along for perhaps, what was it here? Miles? Kilometers? 3 or 4 minutes. We turned sharp right, went for another minute or so and stopped. The engine was turned off. The sea was strong. Light spray, blown on the breeze, tickled my nostrils. Sounds of many men, sounds of thug-thug engines, a strong smell of fish and of fish that had been too long in the sunlight, smell of smoke and of tarred rope. "Lovely fish." "It's the young English lady. Shall I go in and get some?" So off she went to see an old friend who would sell us fish straight from the sea. Clang! Gidge thing at the back as the wrapped fish were dropped in. Bang! Door as the young English lady got in the car and slammed the door shut. "Is this place? This?" "This is the harbour where all the fishing boats come to bring our supper." Storage sheds by the side of us, water at the other side, ships tied up with bits of rope so they can't go off until everyone is ready. Smoke? Ashian, some smoke. They don't go bad so quickly that way, or you can't smell it so quickly because of the smoke. The Gov's seat and yelled, "What are we waiting for? Let us go to Patmanak." "Ogh, you are an impatient wretch," said the Gov, starting the car thing again and moving it off. "Mizku," I said in, I'm afraid, rather worried tones. "This young English lady, I cannot say her name, and the way I pronounce it, it is a curse on a too eager Dom. What shall I do?" What for a while and then said, "Well, I don't know, I'm sure." Perked up and said, "Hey, she has on a green frock, she is very tall and thin and the hair on top is sort of yellow. Hey, thief, call her Buttercup, she won't know." "Thank you, Miss G," I replied. "I will refer to her as Miss Buttercup." "Nothing," retorted Miss G, "we should Miss Buttercup, but she is Mrs., like you, she has hit kittens too." "You are not in French polite society now, you are home, so say Gov, Ma, and Buttercup." "I am Miss G." The car rolled on, gently, smoothly. We had reached there and stopped. The doors of the car were opened and I was lifted out. Old Miss G, gentle hands took mine and shuffled them through the sand. "Eef, sand," said the Gov. The swish of the waves against the rocks soothed me. The sun was warm on my back. Lee up and down the sand, yelling her joy. The family, my family, sat quietly by. I sat at their feet and toyed with a pebble. I was too old and had not yet healed enough to run with wild whoops like Misku. And warm sunlight I fell asleep. Clouds were over the sun. There was a faint drizzle of rain. Strange, thought, how can I be here? Then it came to me, I was astral traveling. Light as a cloud I drifted along over coastal roads, moving inland. The great airport at Labourget, inland, England. A row of poplar trees still standing sentinel along the straight white road. The spire of the church, half shrouded with mist, and the trees in the graveyard weeping in the rain for those who lay beneath. I drifted, wraith-like myself, drifted and came lower. Suddenly I saw, for one is not blind in the astral, sacred to the memory of a moment I was at a loss. Then comprehension hit me. I shouted, "Buried here." A sob escaped me. She had been the only one to love me. Now she was gone and I had come into happiness and love, and from this wicked world and entered into love and happiness herself. Last look I again rose and drifted on. Lodgekeeper was sweeping a courtyard at the back of his lodge, chained to the wall, growled and whined uneasily at my passing. The house loomed before me, stately, cold, unfriendly, as if forbidding one to enter. Me. Diplomat came out onto the terrace. Instinctively I turned to run. But of course she did not see me hovering at shoulder height. She looked thin and haggard. Lines of discontent marred her features, the ends of her mouth turned sharply down, and with thin lips and pinched nostrils she looked bitter indeed. I moved on, moved toward the old apple tree, and halted in shocked horror. The tree was gone, felled, and even the stump had been extracted. Silently, sorrowing, I hovered around. By some inexplicable impulse I drifted towards the old outhouse which had been my only home. It almost stopped. The remains of my friend the apple tree were piled against one wall as firewood. Movement at the door, and there was Pierre, axe in hand upraised and faded from that place, said the Gov as he lifted me to his shoulder and walked around with me. I've had a nightmare, in the sunlight, too, and felt sudden gratitude. I licked his ear down to the water's edge and stood there, with me on his shoulder. "Know what you feel, thief," he said. "I've been through hardships as well, you know." Licking my back, he turned and walked over to the others. "Shall we get back? Old Granny Grey Whiskers is getting tired." And purred. It was just wonderful having someone who thought of me, who could talk to me. We all got in the car and we started back on the journey home. I suppose I am a cranky old woman cat, or something, but I have a few phobias. Even now I do not like motor cars. Blind has something to do with it, but I still have a fear that I am going to be left somewhere. Iska is poised, an experienced society lady whom nothing ruffles. At times she is completely master, or mistress, of the situation. I am sometimes a little eccentric. That makes it all the more wonderful that they love me so. It is fortunate that they do, because now I cannot bear to be alone. For years I was starved of affection and now I want all there is to spare. Over the hill of Howth we drove, along where the tram tracks meandered by the side of the road, to the highest point and beyond, down to the village, turn right before reaching the big church, past Mr. and Mrs. O'Grady's house, another left and we are home. Dear old Mr. Loftus, our policeman, was looking over the wall at him without speaking, for the gov said Mr. Loftus was one of the best men in Ireland or anywhere else, and it was some food, something to drink, and then sleep on the gov's bed, with the sound of the waves lulling me, reminding me of the time my mother sang me to sleep. The last I heard before dropping off was Miss Hi. I want to go down to the garage with you and put away the car. A soft shutting of a door, and all was quiet. It was wonderful sleeping, knowing that no one was coming to chase me or carry me off to a dark woodshed. That I was respected as if I were a human, had the same rights as everyone else in the house. Snored a little louder, thief. Any grey whiskers off that bed. The gov wants to get in. Such a bully, certainly Fifi can stay on the bed. Now stop it, the gov sounded cross my head so that I could hear better, then guessed where the floor was and jumped off. Little but firm hands caught me and lifted me back. Now Fif, you are as bad as grey in a bed and keep me company. I stayed. Ma, sorry, gov, was a very sick man. Sometime before he had TB one of my children had died from that, years ago, and although he had been cured it had left his lungs permanently impaired. He had coronary thrombosis 3 times and he had other troubles as well. He had to rest a lot. Sometimes in the night he would walk up and down the room in pain. I would walk beside him, trying to console him. Those long hours of the night were the worst, when we were alone. I slept much through the daylight hours so that I could be with him in the nights. I slept in a room at the other end of the house, and Miss Goo looked after her. Buttercup slept in a room downstairs where she could look out far over the Irish Sea and, in the mornings, see the Liverpool boat steam toward the port of Dunloghare. And I slept in a room overlooking Ballscarden Bay, overlooking the harbour and the Irish Sea. He would lie for hours on his bed watching the ever-changing scene with his powerful Japanese binoculars. Our very great friend Brad Campbell had taken out the poor glass originally in place, and inserted instead the finest plate glass so that there was no distortion of the view. As we sat together, him scanning the view, he would tell me all he saw, putting it into telepathic thought pictures so that I could see as clearly as he. Ireland's eye, he would tell me of the brave monks who years ago had tried to make a little church there, but had at last been defeated by the storms of Ireland's eye as well. Brave enough to go with the gov in a little boat all the way across the water and play in the sand on the island. She told me of pirate cats who lived on the island and frightened the birds and the rabbits. Did not tell me of the pirate cats, perhaps he did not think cats would sink so low, but he did tell me of human smugglers, and he could even name them. Was done in the district, and the gov knew almost everyone connected with it. He had taken many photographs with a telephoto camera. I did photography, too, and wherever she went she carried the camera in her handbag. But Ma's chief concern was to look after us all and try to keep the gov going for a few more years. She was busy all the time, supervised everything and saw that no one slacked and that she got all the car rides that she wanted. Very busy as well. She helped look after the house and the gov and she took long walks so that she could get ideas for drawing and painting. Clever artist, Miss Goo and the gov tell me, to illustrate this little book of mine, and Miss Koo says that she is doing it better than anyone else could. She could see them, but no one can give me sight of in bed before he had a heart attack, and then have Mr. Loftus come and talk to him. Mr. Loftus was a great big man, tall and broad, and all of us admired him immensely. Given me permission to say that she is a bit of a flirt, loved him. Mrs. O'Grady was another welcome visitor, one who would drop in at any time, and who was accepted as one of the family. Brad Campbell did not call nearly as often as we would have liked. He was a busy man, busy because he was such a good workman, and his visits were all too few. We were discussing travel, and air travel in particular. Oh, but when he came from England, with cries of joy, the airline would not have cats in the same compartment as humans. They don't want my cat, they do not want me. We will charter a plane and take all our things as well. Paused for dramatic effect, and continued, so we came by chartered plane and they had a bottle of oxygen for the gov and he got cross at Dublin Airport because they wanted to put him in a wheelchair as an invalid. Gave me a warm feeling inside to know that the family thought as much of Miss Goo and me any human. Then we smiled as the guv chuckled at us and told us that we were a gossiping pair of old woman cats. I said one morning, "Mrs. O'Grady comes here a lot, but why does not Mr. come here, dear dear?" replied Miss Gu, "He has to work, he looks after the electricity of Ireland, and if he didn't pour it in the wires how would we cook? We use gas in a metal thing and men bring the metal things here once every 3 weeks." She sighed in exasperation. "Thief," she said, after taking a deep breath to calm herself, "like the gov had shown us. If they are to see, they use electricity, right? You don't see, so you don't know. Have glass bottles tied to poles and hanging from the ceilings. People tip electricity into them from their wires. We get a light. Electricity, thief." Way with a muttered, "Cats make me sick, always asking food questions. We use electricity all right." The governor took a lot of color photographs and showed them on a screen with a special lamp. "Sit with my back to the lamp, facing the screen, because the rays from the lamp were beautifully warm." "Not have a telephone at house. Someone told me that the Irish telephone people had no lines to spare. Not understand why they did not put up more, like other countries did, but it did not matter to me. We used Mrs. O'Grady's phone, which was offered so gladly." Ma was very fond of V. Org, as we called her. Liked her as well, but he saw more of Mr. Loftus. The big picture window overlooking the bay, Mr. Loftus could be seen coming round the corner at the bottom of the steep hill, then trudging up Ballscarden Road and right away to the end where all the picnickers went. When he went off duty he would often call in to see us, and he was always a welcome visitor. Be in bed, and Mr. Loftus would sit facing him and the window. We listened to the world, too. The gov had a very powerful shortwave radio set which would bring in programs from China, Japan, India, and the Irish police and fire stations. The preferred music from Siam, or Thailand, or whatever they now call the country of my ancestors. Music of Siam. I would sit and sway and gently keep time with my head. See in my mind's eye the temples, the fields and the trees. I would look back at the whole history of my ancestors. Went to Tibet, where the gov came from, and there we guarded the temples and the lamaseries. The proctors of Tibet, we too were trained to discourage thieves, and safeguard the jewels and the religious objects. In Tibet we were almost black because of the intense cold. It is perhaps not generally known that my race alter in color according to the temperature. In a cold, frozen country we grow very very dark. Tropical countries we are almost white. Our kittens are born pure white, and soon after the characteristic markings appear. Kittens have different colors, such as white, yellow, brown and black, so have we. A pointed cat, while Miss Ku is a chocolate pointed cat. There was, indeed, the champion, chocolate soldier, had a very wonderful pedigree, had been lost, and I were discussing it one day. Leaves me to think they have been left in France. I feel, well, kind of naked without them. Soothed Miss Gu, "Think nothing of it. Word with the gov and ask him to destroy mine, then both of us will be paperless." Expostulate. She had wheeled round and stalked out of the room down the stairs to where the gov was doing something with a long brass tube which had glass at both ends. And that he put the thing to one eye so that he could see better. "Father," Sku came up, still arguing, he said, "if that is the way you want it, you always were a crazy cat." Went to a drawer and I heard the rustling of papers and then the rasping of a match being struck. Paper reached me and then the clatter of fire irons as the ashes were stirred into nothingness. Who came over and gave me a push. She said with a smile, "Now stop your stupid worry. And Ma do not care a hang for these papers, or pedigrees, we are their children." I was wrinkled, and I sneezed. "Will smell in the air. Something I had never smelled before." "Where are you, thief?" was coming as I jumped off the bed, following my nose, being led by that wonderful smell. I went down the stairs. "Lobster, thief," said Ma. "Quiet." Our kitchen had a stone floor and the gov once told Miss Gu and me that there was a story to the effect that a passage under the flagstones connected the kitchen with the cave below. Me nervous in case some pirate or smuggler should push up the stone from beneath and I should fall through. Ma had called, and called for a new sort of food. Being a French Siamese cat I had a natural interest in food. Ma tweaked my ears with affection and led me to the dish of lobster. Sku was already at hers. "At Kraken thief," she said, "you are poking around like a real old Irish biddy." Of course I was never upset by what Miss Ku said, She had a heart as good as the purest shrimp meat, and she had taken me, a dying, destitute stranger, into her home with gladness. For all her sternness, for all her autocratic manner, she was a person whom to know was to love. The lobster was delicious. From Ireland's eye, thief, said Miss Gu. The Gov thought we would like it for a treat. Doesn't he eat it?
Never.
Thinks it is horrible, Mum. If you and I like it, he will buy it for us.
Remember those shrimps, thief?
Added indeed, when the Gov and Ma first brought me to the house. I was hungry, but almost too ill to eat.
Her tin of shrimps, said the Gov. She is weak with hunger.
The tin was opened, but I really could not be bothered.
A shrimp and wiped it across my lips.
Thought I had never tasted anything more heavenly.
Had cleared the whole tin. It made me really ashamed of myself, and I grow hot even now whenever I think of it.
If Miss Goo wants to make me blush, she says, remember those shrimps, thief? Said Miss Goo. The Gov is going to take us for a ride.
The cottage where you lived.
Now don't throw a fit. We are going past.
Down to the garage with the Gov to get the car, a good Humber Hawk.
I stayed with Ma, helping her get ready, then went downstairs to make sure that Buttercup had locked the garden gate at the side.
Down the hill, under the tram bridge and onto Sutton, where another old friend, Dr. Chapman, lived.
Miles and eventually reaching Dublin.
Who helped the Gov drive, telling him when to go fast, what cars were about, and which turnings to take, and a lot from her.
In between directing the Gov, stop, mind this corner, quick, don't let that car pass. She described the sights for me. Now here is Westland Row Station, thief, where the trains go from.
Turn right here, Gov.
Yes, thief. We are now in Nassau Street.
For about this, we used to live here, thief, opposite Trinity College grounds.
Gov, you are going so fast I can't tell, thief.
This is St. Stephen's Green. I've been in there.
Ducks quack in that place.
On the corner, we get our radios down that street, thief.
We went through the streets of Dublin, Miss Coo giving a running commentary, with streets and houses behind us. The Gov pressed down something with a foot and the car ran faster as more food went into it. Along the mountain roads we went, along by the side of what Miss Coo called a reservoir which seemed to be a drinking bowl for Dublin, to the cottage. The car stopped. The Gov glanced in my direction and seeing how I was affected, speeded up with relief, half fearing, in spite of all, that I was going to be returned as a useless old blind cat.
To show my happiness I purred and licked Ma's hand.
We thought you were going to throw a fit and pass away in the odor of sanctity.
Brace up, old girl, you are a member of the family.
Played among the heather for a time, shouting about how many rabbits she was going to catch. Then she saw what the Gov said was a sheep, and fell abruptly silent.
Not see the creature, but I did detect a strange muttony smell and the odor of old wool
in the car, and went speeding off again on the way home.
Past the Bailey Lighthouse, on Howth Head, the foghorn was bellowing like a cow about to give birth.
A tram rumbled by, its wheels going clankety-clank, clankety-clank on the iron rails.
But the post office, said Ma, there should be some parcels there.
Waited for Ma, thief.
A man told the Gov your two kittens are doing fine. They are growing well and have black faces and tails now.
The content was good to me, my children were happy, and together.
The last kittens I would ever have, and I was proud of them, proud that they had been accepted, and that they were happy.
Man into ye, said Pat the postman when Ma and I answered the door to his ring.
Waffle lot of letters I have for himself this morning, nigh broke me back it did, carrying it up T.H. Hill.
As the postman was an old friend of ours, he is the time the Gov picked him up in the car and drove him on his rounds when his legs were giving out with the walking.
Knew everything and everybody in the district, and we picked up much local color from him.
To smell his trouser turn-ups so that I could read of his walk across the head, or through the heather banks.
To know, too, when Pat had had a little drop to keep him warm on his evening round.
The letters and I got on the Gov's bed so that I could help him read them. There were a lot this morning, letters from Japan, from India, from friends in Germany.
A letter from Dublin, envelope being slit, and paper dragged out.
Ex officials are as bad as the English.
This demand is absolute robbery.
Not afford to stay in Ireland, he relapsed into gloomy silence.
I hovered by the bedside.
Buttercup came running up the stairs to see what was in the mail.
It amazes me, said the Gov, Why the Irish tax people do not try to keep people like us in the country instead of driving us out by excessive, savage taxation. We spend a lot here, but the tax office is never satisfied. They want to have their cake and eat it at the same time. We authors are taxed more harshly than any other class over here. I nodded sympathetically, and pushed my head against the gov's leg. He wanted to become an Irish citizen. He loved the Irish, all except Irish tax officials. That body, to the gov, was a smell worse than an unclean tomcat tin. They were so unreasonable, so blind. The gov reached out and tweaked one of my ears. If it were not for you cats, thief, we would go to Tangier, or Holland, or somewhere that welcomed us more. But you are our old granny cat, and I would not upset you if my life depended upon it. Free, gov are talking. I'll stand as much as you will, and a bit more. My heart is sound. Yes, thief, he replied as he rubbed my chin and chest. Your heart is sound, you are the nicest old granny cat ever. Maybe, I answered, you and I will pass over at the same time and then won't be parted. We were all a bit gloomy for the rest of the day. It was a waste of time to try to live in Ireland if the tax officials were going to take all enough trouble without that. The pressmen were always snooping around, sometimes watching the house through binoculars and holding mirrors on poles to the bedroom windows. Had published untrue stories about the gov and at no time allowed him to give his side of things. Looks at pressmen as being the scum of the earth. I know, I have heard him say so often enough. From what Miss Crewe told me, I know that he is fully justified. He's to telephone Brad Campbell, said Ma. I see that someone has forced the lock on the back gate and it must be repaired. Those tourists from Liverpool, replied the gov. Brad told me that his father had had tourists camping in his front garden. Ma went off up the road just as Miss Crewe called me from the kitchen and said that there was a very nice lunch ready for us and was met at the bottom by Miss Crewe. Here you are, thief, she said. I have persuaded Buttercup to give us hours early so that we can go into the garden and see if the flowers are growing all right. He groaned a bit, but did the right thing in the end. Tuck in. Would always tuck in. Loved food and always believed in eating in order to build up one's strength. Pounds and had never felt better. I found my way about without trouble, too. How silly old dope, thief, he said. How's that gov, yet in the astral you can see. I not, when you rest. Go into the astral plane so that you can see if anything has been shifted. Why not have a jolly good look over the place? You cats don't use the brains you were born with, did. So I cultivated the habit of astral traveling whenever I rested. Do not get bumps or bruises. I know the location of almost everything. Rudd's come. Delighted. It meant that now we could get in the garden, because the gov always went out and talked to Brad Campbell and talked while he worked. Who told the gov he should take a tonic as he was slowing up. Slowing up? I could catch you at any time. At first the layout of the house had puzzled me because one entered by the top floor and the ground floor was below the level of the road. Isco explained it to me. Well, you see we are perched on the side of the cliff like a lot of broody hens. The cliff slopes down from the road, with a wall to keep people falling off. This house used to be two flats until we came and knocked it into one. Plenty of room in the house and in the gardens, one at each side of the house. Formerly the upstairs tenants had the right garden and the downstairs tenants the left. Had the lot, but I was never allowed out alone because the family always had the fear that I would fall over the cliff or climb a tree and fall off. So I would not have fallen, really. But it was nice to have people care that much about me. Up used to sit in the garden and sun herself, making her yellow top yellower, as Miss Crewe put it. We liked her to be in the garden because she often forgot about us and we could explore more. So I went to the side of the cliff and tried to climb down. Crewe very hurriedly called the gov and he came and lifted me back before I could fall. Careful when we were out in the garden for yet another reason. People used to hang around trying to get photographs of the llama. Cars used to stop alongside the garden walls, and people would clamber over so that they could see where Lobsang Rampa lived. The gov looked out of the window and saw women having a picnic on the lawn. They were most annoyed where he went out and moved them off. The scenic roads of Howth had similar experiences. Trippers thought they could go anywhere, do as much damage as they wished, and leave their litter for others to clean up. Heard the gov and Ma talking, said Miss Crewe. Where is Morocco? Morocco, Miss Crewe? Why, that will be Tangier, a place in the Mediterranean area. And there by me, we went to live that, smelly, and even the fish are smugglers. All right, I had been taken there on a ship from Marseille, and was seasick all the time.